Episode 35, Modifying the Baby Steps to Pay Off Debt with Marilee of Easy Budget.
Welcome to the Frugal Friends Podcast, where you'll learn to save money, embrace simplicity, and live a richer life. Here are your hosts, Jen and Jill.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Frugal Friends Podcast. I am Jen.
I'm Jill.
We are super excited to have another debt payoff story for you guys. We have done a few of these in the past. They're everybody's favorite. So we're like, gosh, let's do another.
We could use some inspiration.
Yes. I am particularly fond of this one because we're going to dive deep into some modifications to the baby steps and working with your spouse who may have different views on how to do finances than you. So it's just going to be a lot of information thrown at you from a really fun and personal person who we love. And her name is Marilee. She's from Easy Budget. She is really great on Instagram. She's got an Etsy store. She and her family have paid off over $52,000 of debt in the past 2 years. Most of that just in 18 months. And on a single income, Marilee's a stay-at-home mom with two kids, one on the way. So this is a story that somebody can relate to out there. Like, you're going to be able to relate to at least a part of her story, whoever you are.
I can relate to her, and I got no kids. So that's telling you how relatable she is.
Same. So, but before we get into the interview, of course, we got to start with our sponsors.
Got to give them a shout out. Let's start with CookSmarts. You've heard this one. You guys know this one. It's an affordable and flexible meal planning service that provides recipes, instructions, weekend prep options, and a shopping list for four meals per week. That's more than half. So we've partnered with this awesome service to offer listeners their first 3 weeks, three full weeks, you guys, yes, of meal plans for free. And it doesn't stop there. We're like an infomercial, only better because we're in a podcast. 25% off any additional services. So if you are going to give your money over, if you're like, you know what, I like free, but I want more, there's a discount for you. So to get this deal, head over to frugalfriendspodcast.com/CS and use the promo code FRUGAL for 25% off. Do it, enjoy it, love it, eat healthy, enjoy food with friends and family.
Yes. You know, we actually had somebody in our Frugal Friends community Facebook group. She started using CookSmarts and said now she has started eating vegetables.
Oh, she cooked cauliflower. Because
of CookSmarts.
Did CookSmarts help her with the scurvy she was experiencing?
But just the vegetable part. And she has really been enjoying it. So they're legit recipes. And definitely a good thing to check out. We love them. And if you need more convincing, you can check out our episode with Jess Dang, the creator of CookSmarts.
That was a good one.
Yeah, that was a really good one. Today's episode is also brought to you by reused gift bags. Can't bring yourself to toss those perfectly good gift bags you got from the White Elephant Gift Exchange? You don't have to. By reusing gift bags, you're saving money, time, and the environment. Take those gifts home with you in the bags from whence they came and save them in the privacy of your own home, away from your mother's judging eyes. Gift bags of all sizes can be saved and reused for years to come. And as an added bonus, throw that tissue paper right up in there. It'll be crisp for next use. Just don't forget to check the gift tag for previously written notes. Reused gift bags.
We're just doing these for our own entertainment now. Sorry, listeners, if you don't enjoy this as much as I do. Dude, you use the word whence. You talked about mother's judging eyes. You talked about crisp tissue paper, previously written notes.
It's all the things I'm experiencing in my own holiday season.
Yeah. So this one drives home and I love it. And
I hope you can relate. And
100%.
the gift bags that you're given. So
fantastic.
All right.
Well, chill. Let's get into this thing with Merrily. Merrily, so great to have you on the podcast and really excited to talk about some of your debt payoff journey. We are a little bit long overdue to talk about this on the podcast, so I'm sure a lot of our listeners are going to be super stoked to hear about your journey. So let's start at the beginning. I mean, not like the real beginning, not like birth, unless that's where it starts. But when you were like, how
came out of the womb with debt.
Yeah. They're like, oh man, gotta get going on this thing. I don't know, maybe. But tell us, give us some background. Like, when and how did your debt-free journey start?
Yeah. So my husband and I had both been graduated from college. I had been graduated for a couple of years and my husband had been graduated for about 8 months. And the thing that really got us kind of kicked into gear was that I reread The Total Money Makeover by Dave Ramsey. So that's a book that I had read several years before when I was a freshman in college. But then I didn't have any debt then. And so I just didn't think much of it. So I reread it, and what happened was we had a credit card, and we were paying it off every month, but there was one month where my husband purchased something that was too expensive for us to pay off that month.
Uh-oh.
And, oh, man, I hated how it felt. It felt so wrong. And so I reread The Total Money Makeover and just went crazy. I didn't like how it felt. I knew we had all these student loans that we had carried with us from college. And so that was the real event that got us kind of kicked into gear and started our debt-free journey. So within a few weeks after that, we were making payments on our debt, extra payments.
Wow. Was your husband on board right away or did that take some convincing?
I think he was on board pretty quickly. He and I were different in our approach to money, and hopefully I'll get to talk about that a little bit later, but he's much more entrepreneurial in the way that he thinks.
Okay.
And he's much more liberal with the way he handles money and the risks he's willing to take. But he did read The Total Money Makeover as well and agreed with me that we should get the student loans gone. And so he did read it, get on board, and he kind of allowed me to take the reins and start making extra payments and doing the budget. He was happy to see me doing something other than just spending our money. So he was pretty on board.
That's a pretty cool place to start in having the common ground of having read a book. I think that there's probably some good tips and wisdom in doing that you have a common framework to be discussing and then launch from. Is that how you found that to be, or is that a recommendation that you would have for people? What do you think on that?
Absolutely. If you can get your spouse to read a book or read that book, then I think that that's a terrific place to start. My husband is frequently suggesting books for me to read that, you know, investment books or all types of things that he wants me to understand where he's coming from. So mm-hmm. I think that's very, very useful if you can get your spouse or significant other to read a book to get on board.
Yeah. The Total Money Makeover was how we got on board together. And my husband is not a big reader, but the Total Money Makeover is written in a way where it's got stories sprinkled in and it's more visual. So it's really, you don't have to read the whole thing like a novel to get the big picture. So that was really helpful for him. So yeah, I totally agree with that.
Or there's audiobooks or podcasts.
Yes.
Yeah. Plug ourselves.
Yeah. There's all sorts of resources. I think I actually read it on my phone. There's like an app where you can read free books online. And so I think I actually reread it on my phone. And then I purchased the paperback copy for my husband to read. It doesn't really matter how you access the information as long as you access it. So
exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We talked about in our library episode, the apps Libby and Hoopla have a ton of ebooks and audiobooks. So I'm sure you can find it on one of those.
Yeah.
But going back, so you mentioned your approaches to money, they were different. Expound on that a little.
So I would consider myself neither a spender nor a saver. or him. I can't really say that either one of us is strongly one or the other. We're both kind of both. But my husband is just so risk tolerant. He will put anything out on the line and he believes in himself. He's a really hard worker. He's really smart, but he just has a very high tolerance for risk. So he's willing to do things with our money that I'm not. And I feel like I'm much more conservative. So I would rather be putting our money let me give an example. Yeah. I'm much more conservative. It's hard for me to take risks. It's hard for me to try new things. It would be hard for me to start a business. So for an example, I would, you know, at first thought put our money in a 401k because to me that feels safe. For him, that does not feel safe. He does not like that. He would much rather invest it in a business, invest it in himself, something that he creates. And that feels very risky for me. And so one or the other may or may not be better. It depends on kind of who you are, but we just have really different risk tolerance when it comes to what we do with our money.
Wow. I really like the way that you're describing that, that it's not like, oh, one's, then you just said one's not necessarily better than the other, that like, this is how he is. He's risk tolerant. He's entrepreneurial. You are more conservative. He's more liberal. And I think it's really dignifying to not place like a good or bad on either one, but just to recognize this is where we both are. And so, yeah, probably Jen, you had a question about how do you negotiate that?
Yeah, because it is great because it's hard for the person on one side to see the point of view of the person on the other side. So I'm really interested to how you guys got to this mindset.
It's very tricky and we're still navigating it. I think we'll be navigating it our entire lives. Mm-hmm. But what it comes down to is that we have to find some kind of compromise. So we recently purchased a home and it was very important to me to have a kind of a beefed up emergency fund since we had that home. Mm-hmm. He doesn't care about that. He's totally fine with taking that money and investing it in business ideas and investing in real estate and things like that. He has a lot of great ideas, but for me, that feels safe and he respects that. Mm-hmm. So he's allowing me to do that. But now we have this other big chunk of money and I say to him, I would rather take this money and put it in a 401k, but I respect you and your opinions and beliefs and desires. So we're going to take that big chunk of money and it's yours. Put it where you think you can do the best with whatever investment or idea that you have. Mm-hmm. So we have to both allow each other to take chances and to take risks and to do with whatever chunk of money we think is best. And that's what we're trying to do right now. But I think it will be always, I think we'll always be trying to compromise with each other about that.
And there's foundational things of respect and believing the best in each other that are coming out in those decisions, and as we talk about and harp on episode after episode, it's not just about money. It brings out other value systems and how we relate and all these things. So yeah, for you, I see a lot of this respect for one another, even in finances, coming out in this, which is amazing. That compromise, recognizing that it's going to be a lifelong journey and it's not just discovered and here's the magic thing that you implement when you've got these two people coming together with their finances. So it's really helpful. Thanks for that input.
And I should also add that is not always so easy and simple. Sometimes there's disagreements and sometimes it takes us weeks or there's a standoff on what to do with money. It's really not so simple and so cut and dry, but we're trying to work through it. So that's what we'll always be, just trying to work through it and solve each problem as we come to it. And I hope that we can balance each other out.
Mm. Yeah. Even in a debt-free journey where you're trying to pay off debt fast, it's worth it to take the time to figure these things out because, a marriage and a life and money in general, those are lifelong things. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Paying off debt doesn't last forever. So
yeah, I love that. I agree.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it also makes me think of, over this time, kind of what struggles have you faced and overcome?
So in regards to this specific issue, like how we see money differently kind of thing?
Anything. I feel like that would be a big source of it, but it obviously doesn't have to be.
Yeah, that has been a big thing. I think a few months ago, we kind of got to this place where we were paying off debt really rapidly, very intensely. And we kind of got to this place where we wanted to reevaluate. And so then it became this, now it's a constant discussion. Every time we have extra money, what we're going to do with it. Whereas a year ago or 2 years ago, when we were really rapidly paying off debt, it wasn't a discussion. We put it towards debt, period. Now, every time there's extra money, it's, is it going to the emergency fund? Is it going to debt? Are we going to buy plane tickets with it to visit family? Are we going to put it towards a rental house? Are we going to invest it in a 401k? So now there has to be a lot more communication. And that's been a struggle that we've had for the last few months, is trying to figure out what to do with that money, since there isn't a super clear one single goal that we're working on right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you're a single income family for the most part, right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's so true about the ongoing financial journey that we're talking about in this, that yes, there's debt payoff, but then what happens after that? And you can be so singularly focused on one thing, but then when there are more options, holy smokes, there's a whole lot more to talk about and need to compromise on and be on the same page with. And yeah, there's always new challenges and barriers. Isn't that exciting?
Yes, exactly. But honestly, we're not done paying off our debt. So when over the course of about 18 months, we paid off about $50,000. And now we, for the last 6 months, have slowed down quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And we have $18,000 left, all student loans. And over that time, the last 6 months is when we've had to make all those decisions on mm-hmm. But that's what life after debt is like too. After that mm-hmm. last $18,000 is gone, that's what it's going to be like for the rest of our lives, is what are we going to do with this money? Yeah. So, yeah.
I remember we did not prepare well enough when we were paying off our debt for that time to come. We stayed laser focused and our heads in the sand for 2 years. And it was great because we, you know, paid it off so fast, but we didn't plan what was coming after it until maybe like a few weeks before we became debt free. And then Hurricane Irma comes through and a tree falls on our house. And and all of this stuff. And we were just very unprepared.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not like I would, you know, recommend against what we were doing, but I love the way that your perspective is on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you've paid off a ton of debt. You have $18,000 left to go. And is this correct? I see on Instagram that you've got a goal of having that gone in 2019.
For sure. We have to be able to do it in 2019. I know we can. Yes.
Awesome. And how many years have you been putting towards it so far? You've paid off $52,000 in how long?
It's been almost exactly 2 years. So we started January 2017.
Okay. Yep. Dang. You guys are going hard at that thing.
Yeah. Good and almost all of that was in the first 18 months. And so we really have paused quite a bit in the last 6 months, but we've also come a long way in the last 6 months. We've, you know, we purchased a home. So we've put equity into a home and some other things like that.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I think that that's encouraging for people to hear. For me, at least, it is. And I'm sure for our listeners, that you are doing this, but you're doing it your own way. You're making modifications along the way. You're doing what works for you. You're compromising with your husband, who comes at finances a completely different way. Let's talk about some of those modifications. It sounds like you are somewhat basing this debt payoff journey and other financial things on the Dave Ramsey, like baby steps, but also that there's some modifications. Can you tell us like what those are and are you happy with some of those choices that you've made?
Absolutely. So we started Dave Ramsey and we started that in January of 2017. And I was really a purist. That's just kind of the personality that I have. Mm-hmm. So for about 18 months, we were paying off a ton, like $3,000 a month or something like that towards debt, and being really gazelle intense. And that was mainly on a single income. I do have a small side income, but that was not really a significant part of it.
Okay.
So for the first 18 months, super gazelle intense. And then what happened was I started branching out in what kind of financial information I was taking in. So I started listening to other podcasts. I started reading books. So I started reading other financial books. A couple that I read were J.L. Collins' Simple Path to Wealth.
Mm, favorite.
Yeah, it's a good one. Love and it. Smart Couples Finish Rich by David Bach. And one thing that I realized was that while I loved Dave Ramsey's philosophy, and I realized that he has this brand that he's selling, and he has to stick to his brand, even if there's some things that maybe wouldn't be the best for all types of people. Like my husband, for example, who doesn't want to work until he's 65 at his current career. Mm-hmm. So I realized that there's all these other people out there that have been really successful with money. Why am I only listening to one person? Or why am I only following one person? So after that, I talked to my husband and he's like, well, I totally agree. I would like to do some other things. And so one of the first things we started with is contributing to our 401k again. So we had stopped paying into our 401k, stopped receiving my husband's company match, and we were giving up free money. And, you know, it felt right when we were doing it at the time. And I actually don't regret that year or year and a half that we didn't do it, but we started paying into the 401k again and getting our match. That was one of the first things we did. And then kind of some other things snowballed from there. We made a move and a career change, and we decided to purchase a home when we moved. And it was absolutely the right decision for our family. We didn't want to be renting again. Renting was expensive here. We were going to have the cash that it took to pay a down payment. And so it was the right move for our family. So a couple of things like that. And then, you know, we have a larger emergency fund than Dave Ramsey would recommend. We're almost at $6,000. That's to help if anything happens with our home. Mm-hmm. And that just feels right for us. So those were kind of some of the main things that we changed. But, you know, Dave Ramsey's baby steps, they're amazing. And I still say I'm on baby step two because it's the right framework. You know, it's the right framework. But we don't want to retire when we're 65 years old. And so we have to work a little bit of a different plan, our own plan.
Yeah. It's cool to hear you say that you saw value in sticking laser focus to one thing, but then once you got comfortable with that, saying, hey, there can be more voices in this pot. I can decide for myself. Mm-hmm. There's freedom in this. Holy smokes. What a novel concept. It's amazing that journey. I hear a lot of people branching off of the emergency fund thing. And I think that's wise. Yeah. We all have to decide for ourselves, what is that going to look like? I mean, I remember when I was newly married at 22 and I took a Dave Ramsey course and I heard $1,000 emergency fund. I was like, heck yeah, I can do that. Like, it was encouraging for me that like, oh my word, I can do this baby step. Like, yeah, that's amazing. And now I'm like, that's not realistic. Like, expenses pop up that are far more than a grand. Like, I need more than that. So it's good for certain people in certain stages of life, but you've got to take into consideration, what does your life look like? How many kids do you have? Where do you live? How do you get to work? All these things. So that's
Exactly.
Yeah. And I see, unfortunately, like in Facebook groups and Instagram, like I see a lot of like baby step shaming. And it's so sad because...
Tell us about that, Jen. What is baby step shaming?
It's people when they're deviating off the baby steps. Like the purists will shame them and like make them feel bad for deviating from the plan. Because that's another
thing.
Show
me where those people are.
They're trolling, Jill. But but yeah, so Dave's really adamant about working the plan as it is written. And yeah, exactly what you said, Marilee, he's got a brand to run and it's so large. He cannot afford to have stipulations to every single baby step. So like I have always understood why he does it. But I also deviated from some of those baby steps. I just wasn't like vocal about it because I can't be shamed. I'm not strong enough.
No, but, exactly.
To all those shamers, man, just freedom is better. So,
and if you have ever been shamed for being vocally like deviant from a baby step, like know that you're okay. Like there are a ton of people out there and they get started with the baby steps and they do them and then they find other things that suit them better and they do just fine.
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
I really haven't received a lot of flack. I think it maybe it's just the way I word my posts. I'm a very like peacemaker type person. I don't like confrontation. Yeah. So maybe when I'm sharing on Instagram, I'm just, you know, not as assertive as some people are, but I really haven't gotten any mean feedback. I've gotten nothing but support. So
yeah, I'm so glad to hear that. You're such a sweetheart on Instagram. Like nobody should humanly be able to shame you. Instagram feed is so sweet. So you've got like your kids up there and all of your encouragement. It's if you have an Instagram, you should definitely follow easy_budget. It's so good.
It's fun stuff. I love sharing our journey. It's been good for me.
Yeah, lots of good tips on there too.
Yes. So this process is taking quite a long time for you. And there have been months where you haven't made like any debt payment, which I know that I would feel like super discouraged. How do you stay motivated through this? And how do you plan to stay motivated through 2019?
Yeah, I am a very black and white thinker type of person. Mm-hmm. And so once I've set my mind on a goal, I can't let go of it. Even if it's not good anymore, I still hang on to it. It's just kind of how I am. And so I'm really motivated to get the debt paid off. It's such a concrete goal. And I think it's so important. So back when we were talking about deviating from Dave Ramsey's baby steps, I think the best way to go is to finish baby step two and then kind of just fly free little bird, you know? And so I really want to finish that baby step two, because I think getting rid of the debt is the perfect foundation to then figure out your financial future. So I'm still really motivated to get that debt gone. And my husband still is too, even though he has other ideas that are floating around in his mind. So on those months when we don't pay off anything, it really stinks. But we only do that when we have something else that's really important to do. So we're buying plane tickets to go visit our family for Christmas. That's an easy decision, you know? Or we're taking a little bit of money to invest in one of my husband's businesses. It's important for him to have the freedom to do that. He has a creative mind. And if I can't stifle him. That's not right, you know? And so the things that we're replacing the debt payment with are very important. We're not just like spending too much money. You know, it's not just a crappy month because we spent way too much and we didn't think about it. It's a no debt payment month because we had something else that was really important to do.
An active decision-making process, not just whoops, how did that happen? But exactly. We planned for this. Speaking of that, can you talk to us a little bit about how you budget? How often? What does that look like?
Oh, yes. I love my budget. So everybody says that, but seriously, if you don't feel that way about your budget, it's just because you haven't reached that threshold yet. Mm. I used to feel that way too. Like
it's like you're enlightened.
Really. We had two kids when we were still in college. So I had graduated college, but my husband hadn't yet. So we were really, really poor. And I tried budgeting so many different ways. I tried writing it down on an envelope. I tried tracking, and nothing stuck until that moment, you know, when I reread the Total Money Makeover and my husband bought something on the credit card that we couldn't afford, and we got really gazelle intense. And I learned about zero-based budgeting, which is where you track every single dollar coming in and every single dollar going out every month. Mm-hmm. That clicked for me so well. I had done just, you know, lazy budgeting before, where I was keeping track of the things that I purchased, but it wasn't zero-based. So once I learned a zero-based budget, I made a spreadsheet on Excel where I track every single dollar that comes in, every single dollar that's going out, and I make a column where I list what I've planned and budgeted for, and then a column where I list what I actually spent. Mm-hmm. And then I sit down about once a week and I reconcile it to make sure that everything on my bank account matches what's on my budget. And I always sit down before we get paid, and I'm just keeping track of it regularly. Otherwise, I get lost and confused if I don't sit down that often. So that has worked so well for us.
That's amazing, Marilee. And it's so cool to hear your enthusiasm because it excites me. But I noticed that on Instagram that you budget weekly. And that's part of the reason for my question, because I haven't heard that before. I hear people say monthly, if that. So can you talk to us a little bit about how did you choose weekly? How did that come about? Do you like that? It sounds like you like that.
Yeah. So my budget is actually based per pay period. So I have like a little budget for all the money that we get the first time we get paid in the month, and then a little budget for all the money that we get paid the second time. But I actually sit down and reconcile it every week. So I'm not actually like creating a new budget every week. Mm. I'm just sitting down to make sure everything is squared away once a week. If I do it less than that, like once a month or every 2 weeks, there's so many charges coming in and out that I just get lost and confused and I forget what certain things were.
Yeah.
And it just messes up the whole thing. I can't zero it out. Mm-hmm. So I sit down every week to reconcile it, to make sure that I can get it zeroed out, know where every penny went, and stay on top of it.
Wow.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because monthly budgeting can be overwhelming, and people, that's the first type of budgeting people try. But budgeting per paycheck, or budgeting weekly, or even just reconciling weekly, is a really great idea for starting and maintaining your budget. It's much less mm-hmm. overwhelming to track transactions once a week than once a month.
Yeah. And I'd say budgeting per paycheck is the smartest thing, because that's when the money's actually coming in. Mm-hmm. And then you need to budget where it's actually going.
Yeah.
So yeah, I agree.
And 2 degrees, this can still work for people who do own their own businesses or aren't receiving those regular paychecks. Month to month, you can still forecast what you anticipate to be making based off of what jobs you have, what clients you have lined up, however that looks. Yeah, because that's how I do it.
I agree. Yeah.
I also like the reconciling idea. Thanks for sharing that. That's a really easy, way to stay on top of it. It may not work for everybody, but we love options. Keep throwing out options, because there is freedom in this process.
Yes.
Yes. You know what I love even more than zero-based budgeting, ooh, Jill?
But I don't love it more than freedom, but it's still really great.
Right. Yeah, freedom definitely better, but like second best is
the bill of the week.
That's right. It's time for the best minute of your entire week. Maybe a baby was born and his name is William. Maybe you paid off your mortgage. Maybe your car died and you're happy to not have to pay that bill anymore. Duck bills, Buffalo Bills, Bill Clinton. This is the bill of the week.
Marilee, every week we have a listener who shares with us their favorite bill of the week. And as a guest on the show, we'd like to invite you to share your bill.
So I'm a busy mom. I have a 4-year-old and a 3-year-old, and I'm pregnant with our third. I have I have a working husband. And so by far, my favorite bill is our $14.06 that we pay every month for Amazon Prime, because I do not like going out and going shopping. I order everything I can online and get it shipped to my door, so I don't have to bring my screaming children out in public.
Ooh, nice. Yeah.
Praises.
The Amazon freedom of Prime. Shopping at home.
Yes.
It's the best. I need it. I'm never giving it up.
Yeah. That's I think amazing. Amazon Prime was made for moms. Like,
What's the weirdest thing you get through Amazon Prime?
Oh my gosh. Well, there's this little thing called Tinkle razors, and I use them to shave the little peach fuzz off my face. They're awesome. What? If you don't have them, you need them, okay? I'm blonde and I have like blonde peach fuzz on my face, so it's not like a mustache or anything. But they're these little tiny razors. They're called Tinkle. I mean, how weird is that? Like, that's a bad name.
Okay, the awful name. How did you stumble upon Tinkball? You're not just Googling that. Maybe you are.
I saw it through an Instagrammer, actually, a girl named Michelle Money. And she's just like a beauty Instagrammer or whatever. And she just shared the hack. And you just use it to like scrape the peach fuzz off. Oh anyway, my face looks amazing. It's not furry. And so that's the best thing I get through Amazon. That's They're awesome. Like $5 every 6 months.
And you don't have to buy them in the store and be seen with Tinkle razors.
Am I going to get a virus on my computer if I look up Tinkle razors? I'm a little concerned.
I'll have to send you the link or something.
We don't shut down.
Hey, you asked. Okay, you asked what the weirdest thing was.
I wanted. Thank you.
Yeah,
you were right on it. You didn't skip a beat.
Yeah, girl, that's not even the weirdest thing we've heard on Bill of the Week. So,
who dis? Oh, thanks for sharing that. I'm really glad that Amazon Prime exists for you, Marilee. It sounds fantastic.
So
me
good.
Too.
If you want to submit your bill of the week, if you also love Amazon Prime or you just want to call and say who dis, please visit frugalfriendspodcast.com/bill. Currently, our bill of the week tank is empty because we've inserted all of them into different episodes. So you could hear yours real soon. So definitely frugalfriendspodcast.com/bill. Leave us a voicemail right there.
Boom. Let's dive back in. Marilee, lightning round. That's not, we don't do those. I just like to say it. Okay.
We have a lightning round. It's like just one question very slowly.
And it doesn't even have to be fast. Don't understand. I don't know. I just want to say it. Can you tell us a little bit about some side hustles for stay-at-home moms? Is that something you engage in? Do you have thoughts on this? Ideas, tips? What you got?
Yes. So I've almost always contributed to our finances in some way. Because honestly, when you're a single-income family, any bit of second income makes a difference. You know, $200,000, $500,000, all of that makes a huge difference for your family. That's your grocery money or your fun money or your gas money or whatever. So I was working at a full-time job when my first son was born. Then after I quit to be a stay-at-home mom, I started nannying. That was one thing I did. So I brought my little guy with me and I worked for a family who just needed help with their son in the summer and for after school care. And they made pretty good money doing that. Nice. Then when my second daughter was born, I started working for an appraisal company and I worked from home and I just basically did paperwork and processed the appraisals after a home appraiser was finished. And I did that for 2 years and I made probably about $500 to $800 a month doing that. Mm-hmm. And that was just based on the workload that I took on. And then I started doing Easy Budget. So, you know, I will talk more about that later probably, but I run my little Etsy shop and that was bringing in money too. It still is. And so I've always contributed just doing all these little things and every little dollar that's brought in helps my family immensely. So my thing that I would recommend to moms, especially stay-at-home moms, if you're looking for a job, is to be creative and ask around. Mm-hmm. The way that I got that little appraisal job, which was awesome, was through a friend. And it was just a random little side job that only a couple people would hear about by word of mouth. But ask around on Facebook, let people know that you're looking for something from home and you'll be surprised what you can find. There are lots of jobs that you can do from home now. Yeah. And, you know, word of mouth is the best way to find those little gems.
Yeah, that's great. Can you talk a little bit about how doable, how feasible, how reasonable is it for you to do some of these side things at home? Yeah, that's nice. It provides some flexibility, but you're still working. So what does that look like when you've got two kids, like two almost like pretty much toddlers, and then growing another human inside of you, which I'm sure takes energy? How reasonable is it to be like, yeah, and I'm also going to throw on more work on myself?
Yeah, because I hear that's like the biggest, when I talk to moms, that's their biggest holdup is like, but my kid still exists. Yeah,
absolutely. It's very tricky. So one of the reasons that I quit the appraisal job I was doing and just switched to Easy Budget was because I was only able to do that job during nap time. It required calling people for something for a short interview. Mm-hmm. I could only do it during nap time, and it was really stressful. I had to get my kids done for a nap that day or I couldn't do my job. And mm-hmm. it was really, really hard. So I think you've really nailed it on the head that it's tricky and it's not going to be for every mom. So mm-hmm. you need to find something that you can do in spare time if you want to do anything at all. Or, you know, it just depends on the mom. Some moms are twiddling their thumbs and wasting time on social media. I do that a lot. And they have time. They have time and they need, and they want to be productive and they want to feel like they're contributing and they want to use this creative energy that they have. And a side hustle is perfect for that kind of mom. Mm-hmm. If you're a mom that's barely keeping your head above water and you've got one or a bunch of little kids around and you're just, you know, you can't fathom having a side hustle, it's not for you. What you do is plenty. It's enough. It's very important. Kids need attention. They need time. They need love. And that's plenty. So just depends on what kind of mom you are, what season of life you're in.
Again, freedom. Something that comes to mind for me here is that there's different seasons and there is different capacity. Some people do have capacity for a lot in their life, more than others. Okay, so that's like on the table. But also different seasons. So I'm sure that once this third child comes into this world, like that's going to make some shifts for you. And for others, you know, it's different when your kids are at home versus when they're in school and all of these things. So just, yeah, I mean, for, again, freedom, freedom for everybody, but like for moms too, because I know that this can be like, well, what is other moms doing? And why can't I do enough? Mm-hmm. And why can't I? Da, 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 da. So this is just offering options, but yeah, the different seasons and the different capacities is a really big thing here. And what you said that if this is, this may not be for everybody. So don't feel like you're listening to this and that there's more pressure or shame to like take on something more.
I totally agree. You know, most of what I was doing was out of necessity. When we were those first couple of side hustles, we were so poor. We were in college and my husband couldn't work. He was an engineering major. We needed money or we weren't going to eat. And so that's how desperate it was. Now it's less desperate, much more flexible. So the seasons, they make a huge difference in what you're capable of doing. Yeah. I totally agree.
Nice. Yeah, there's this Instagram post running around that says women are expected to work like they don't have children and raise children like they don't have jobs.
Yes,
and
totally true.
It's like you don't have to do both. There's grace and freedom. So I love your perspective on that, and I hope all moms hear that and just realize like where you are right now is okay. And if you want to be somewhere else, then you can do that. But if you can't, then don't feel pressured to. Don't feel guilty.
Find what works for you, and what works for you may change next month.
Amen. Okay. So, Marilee, tell us about Easy Budget and your Etsy store. You got some cool stuff in there.
Yeah. So, when we started our debt-free journey, we realized that I was a very end-driven person. So, I needed to know when our debt was going to be paid off, or I couldn't even start this thing. So my husband, he's a genius. He's an engineer. He's like, I can whip up a calculator spreadsheet that can calculate our debt payoff. And I was like, okay, sure. So he did. And it was amazing. And we were able to plug in all of the extra debt payments that we wanted to make. We were able to plug in how much we wanted to pay towards debt every month. And it told us when we would be debt free. And that end goal was so motivating for me. It's like, I compare it to trying, you know, going out running and not knowing how far you're going to run, or like running a marathon, but you don't know if it's going to be 30 miles or 10 miles. Mm-hmm. It makes a difference, you know? Yeah. And so knowing the end made a huge difference for us. And so then my husband's like, hey, we can market this. Like, people need a product like this. There's nothing really good online that really works.
Look at that entrepreneurial husband.
Oh, it's him. Play. I know. Yeah. He never stops, you guys. He's a serial entrepreneur.
Most of them are.
That's very
true. Enjoy that life. You've got a friend. So,
I started my Instagram where I basically just started sharing our journey, and then I started sharing the calculator too. And one of the reasons I decided to put it on Etsy and charge people for it and not just make it a free resource was because, first of all, side hustle. Second of all, I don't have a blog or anything. All I have is my Instagram. So I don't have affiliate income or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And because people really value what they paid for. If you get something for free, or you know it's free, You might never open it. You might never look at it. You might spend 1 minute tinkering with it and then throw it away. Mm-hmm. Once you've paid for something, you value it. You want to use it. You want to make sure it works. And that's the kind of thing that I think helps people. So mm-hmm. I think I've gotten more people to look at it, more people to use it, and actually help more people pay off their debt by charging for it on my Etsy.
Yeah. And it's inexpensive for what it's providing. It's great.
Yep. Yeah. It's only 10 bucks. So mm-hmm. very cheap. And it's just kind of a neat little tool to have in your armory when you're paying off debt.
Yeah. It's fantastic.
That's awesome. Yeah. So if you're serious about paying off your debt and you need a good debt snowball calculator, we will have Marilee's Etsy store link in our show notes, and definitely go pick that up.
Yeah. You can find us Easy Budget on Etsy and Easy_Budget on Instagram too.
Yes. Definitely check awesome. Both of those out. And thanks so much, Marilee, for hanging out with us. This has been super fun and enlightening, mm-hmm. and I've loved it.
And encouraging.
Yeah.
You guys are fun. I need to do this more often. It's just fun to have somebody to talk to.
You're welcome to do it. There's some adult voices, you know, kids are in bed. Mm-hmm. It's fun.
It is fun. This has been great. Thanks so much for having me on, you guys.
Thanks for joining us, Marilee.
Yes.
Oh my goodness, Jen.
Yes.
That was fantastic.
I loved all the controversy that we talked about. It's so juicy.
You love the controversy? Do you love it as much as I like watching people get in fights on Black Friday?
Yes.
It's hard to measure. There's no way of measuring this. So let's not. And let's move on to talk about our book club. Oh, it's December, everyone. Like, in case you didn't know. And we're reading The Millionaire. It's almost over. We're nearing the end.
At this point.
But we're still in it. Don't worry. We're still in it. We're reading The Millionaire Next Door by Thomas J. Stanley. And we are continuing our giveaway of that book. We believe in it that much. We haven't moved on to the next one yet. We're still giving that one away.
We're still giving it.
There's still time.
Yeah.
Tell them how they can get their free copy, Jen.
If you are on the wait list for the audiobook or ebook, and it's just too long at your library, come on down and win a free copy. It's super easy. Leave us a review on iTunes or Stitcher, screenshot the review, and then send it to frugalfriendspodcast@gmail.com. And we promise we will select the winners at the end of this month. We really will.
Yeah, we're not lying to you. No. Somebody gets free books here. So
yeah, ask the people we've given free books to.
If you're like, okay, yeah, I want a free book, and I believe them that they're going to give one to every five people who write a review. It is true. So test out this theory, all right? Put your name in the running, and here's how you can do that. Here's an example. So this review is from Elena, and again, it is 5 stars. Thanks, mm-hmm. Elena. My goodness. It's like there's no other option other than 5 stars. She says, so inspiring. These girls help me feel normal and motivated while on a debt-free journey. Keep up these episodes, ladies. Can't wait to hear more of your tips. Elena, we are so happy to be making you feel normal. I don't feel normal. I feel a little crazy, but I'm glad that we're helping you feel normal.
Yeah. I mean, I feel pretty average. I don't know if that's okay, normal.
Okay, good. Then that balances it. She's probably feeling normal because of listening to you.
Maybe. But yeah. I mean, you provide such great insight. So this review's probably
thanks, Jen.
You.
Oh,
well, thank you as always for hanging out with us. We love having our frugal posse, and if you want to be part of our posse, then hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening to this, and we will come at you every Friday with frugal gems for free every week. We love you guys. See you next time. Frugal Friends is produced, edited, and mixed by Eric Sirianni.
Boom. Do you really love them? Did you mean that when you said that?
I like the people, that listen to this podcast. Because we talk to them in the Facebook group, and they are delightful.
That's not the same thing as love. You just said you like them.
Oh, I love them. Hey, Eric. Oh, don't judge me for my words. I have a hard time committing.
No, I mean, maybe you do love them. I just want to be sure.
It's love.
What that means. What is love? Baby, don't hurt me.
Don't hurt me no more. Probably all of that song we can use legally.
What is love?
Okay, keep going.